pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Radio Show. I'm Scott Buttram with the Trussell Tribune, sitting in for Jeff today. He'll be back tomorrow. Here we are at FM Talk 106.5. We're joined now on the line by Senator Shea Shelnutt. He is the senator from my neck of the woods in Trussell, Alabama. And Senator, thank you for joining us this morning.
Well, good to be with you, Scott. How's everything going?
Well, so far, so good. I think I've talked through one commercial break that our friends at Mobile had to jack-slap me around a little bit and straighten me out. They're doing a great job taking care of someone who has no idea what they're doing, and I'm stumbling my way through, and I'm enjoying every minute of it. I've got to say that. It's been a lot of fun. Let's get right into the conversation. You sponsored the legislation that would prohibit sex change operations for minors, children under 18 in the state of Alabama, that would halt hormone therapy that we have heard some nightmare stories about, while some of these people have been told, oh, it's completely reversible and there's no long-term effects. We now know that that's not true. You're the guy who pushed that bill, making Alabama one of the first states, if not the first state in the country, to pass it. Then a judge put it on hold, and just a few weeks ago, that was lifted by a three-judge panel, and they put most of the bill into effect at that point. What has that road been like, Senator?
Well, I mean, you give me too much credit. You know, Wes Allen sponsored it in the House. I was the Senate sponsor, but there was
and he did a great job. He did a great job. Yeah.
But, you know, it took us more sessions than I would have preferred. It took us, I think, three sessions to pass that bill and get that into effect. And, you know, then the courts stopped it for a while. But I'm glad to see that it is finally in a law in Alabama and taking effect. And we need to stop all those kind of surgeries and hormone therapies. You know, it's just ridiculous what people are trying to do, that agenda that's trying to be pushed on our kids all across this country. Scott, are you getting feedback?
You're coming through real clear on our end. You may be getting some feedback from us, but you're coming through clear on this end. What is the next step for that law? Is it fully enforced at this point, Senator?
Well, as far as I know, you probably know more than I do, but as far as I know, it's fully enforced right now. You know, I'm sure the courts will fight it again, and we'll have to deal with it. You know, the courts will have to deal with it again.
Right. Another issue I wanted to talk about, you were a co-sponsor for the Price Act in the last session, which was legislation that would have provided full school choice in Alabama via education savings accounts or voucher system. The bill got, on the Senate side, got sent to a committee to die. We've seen that happen with legislation before. Everybody seems to think that bill or a similar bill is going to come up again in the coming session. We've already had the lieutenant governor very vocally supporting these bills. Now the governor has joined the chorus and says she will support full school choice. What are you hearing from other senators? Are they ready to put it through? Do you think this is something that's finally going to happen in Alabama?
I definitely think something is coming, you know, like the Price Act. Like you said, I was co-sponsor of the Price Act. And now that the governor is on board, the lieutenant governor is on board, you know, there's no doubt. I think school choice, some version, and I hope it's a good version, that comes up and gets passed in this next session.
When you talk about school choice, just to clarify, you're talking about full school choice. You want kids to, or parents to be able to take a set amount of money and spend it for whatever education they think is best for their students. We're hearing some of the detractors already, and this was anticipated. It was expected. We'd have almost been disappointed if we didn't get it, that are saying, oh, it's going to kill the public school system. I made this point when we had you on Unscripted recently. You're a former public school teacher. Your entire family is involved in public schools, in education, generational in your family, actually. Do you see this as something that's going to hurt public schools? I don't see that.
No, I don't think. No, it's not going to kill public education. You know that's all politics. But, I'm a big supporter. I do think the money should follow the student. We can't keep doing what we're doing. The results are showing that, we've got to make some changes. And, the big issue that some said they had was the accountability in the Price Act. Me, the biggest, those that are going to be most accountable to their students and what they're doing is the parent. You get an involved parent, I think we all know that is the biggest accountability on whether a student is going to perform well in school. And students and parents that are going to get involved and send their kids to a different school, that's the accountability that I'm looking for.
As a former public school teacher, you saw students, and I think you and I agree that education is really kind of a three-legged stool between the student, the teacher or educator, and the parent. But you've seen families, you've seen kids, you've had students who don't have that third leg, don't have that support from home, that parental support, or a parent that's even holding them accountable. That's going to continue with or without school choice. Is there an answer for that? How do we help those kids when they're not getting the help they need at home?
Man, if I had the answer to that, Scott, I could solve a lot of our problems. I don't know how we're going to solve that problem. Discipline at schools is the main thing, and just caring, giving the kids, letting them know that you care about their futures. But without parents involved, or without some guardian or some influence from family, it's tough. We're losing a lot of kids.
You just touched on a pretty big issue when you mentioned discipline in schools. I'm in my 60s now. That was not an issue back in the day when I was in school. But we see videos popping up on social media, some coming from local schools in the Tribune area, some coming from very highly respected school systems in the Tribune area, with kids fighting, lunchrooms, buses. Discipline does seem to be an issue. Is the state board aware of this issue? Do they have plans for it? Is there legislation that can support this? That's not an environment where kids can learn if there are fistfights in the hallways and fistfights in the cafeteria on a routine basis.
Right. Now, like you told everybody, I was an educator. I taught for 10 years, and I was in our schools, and that was one reason that I kind of chose to get out of that field, because I just was frustrated with the discipline issues and lack of discipline that I saw in our schools. My wife's a teacher, and he told everybody, my brother, my sister, my sister-in-law, everybody, we're a family of teachers, and the differences that you see in certain schools when there's discipline, everything else seems to be easier or better. Well, let's just say that the other issue, but so that's one of the main issues that I see. And that comes from leadership, school board and the principals at these schools. So, I do think that's a big issue. God, I thought you wanted to talk today about us lowering the scores. I figured that's why you called me. I know you're
lowering
the scores. I know you're really for that.
We've been talking about that all morning, and we were getting to that.
I hadn't been listening. I didn't even know I was going to be on the Jeff Poor Show. I just knew Scott Buttram called me and wanted to talk to me today.
I'll share that. I keep being told we can't get Schindler Sheldon on the Jeff Poor Show. We can't get him on the show. And so, I'm going to be filling in on Monday. I think I'll get him on the show. We'll just show him how to do that. That's not hard. I sent you one text and got you on the show. I don't know what the problem is. But we actually discussed that. We discussed it with the lieutenant governor. We discussed it with Representative Susan DuBose earlier as well. That is an issue that is stuck in my craw. I actually did a piece with Del Jackson on Yellowhammer News that I think aired over the weekend, and that was the question he wanted me to address. Just to catch our listeners up, the Literacy Act goes into effect this school year, and before we can even get to the end of the school year, they have lowered the required reading literacy score to allow students to advance to the third grade if they're not proficient, or advance to the fourth grade if they're not proficient in reading. The state board with Chairman Governor Kay Ivey went right ahead and voted to lower the score in a 5-3 vote last week before you guys could even get back in session. They've gone ahead and reduced it. I'm assuming, obviously, there was no checkpoint in the legislation and the Literacy Act that would lead the school board to need the permission of the legislature to change those, to change the score point or the threshold to hold kids back. What are you hearing from colleagues? I mean, that's got to be burning some of you guys up right now.
Well, you know, that just happened. I hadn't really talked to any of my colleagues about this issue, but I'm sure we're not going to be real happy with this. And I mean, as you know, I mean, if a student cannot read, that their education, they can't go on. That's one of the most important things you can do is you got to be able to read. You get to learn the next level to go on. You know, I'm an old math teacher, and, you know, I taught Algebra 2, trig. You know, it'd be like kids, if kids can't add, multiply, why do I, they're not going to be teaching, learning Algebra 2, trig. You know, if you can't read,
right,
that's a basic skill. We've got to get that right. And it's, the stats show that if you're not getting that ability in the third grade, you don't need to go on.
That was the point I made with Dell and Mecca on the Yellowhammer piece over the weekend. Reading is fundamental to everything else in education. You just hit on it. You can't do math if you can't read the math instructions and understand them and comprehend what's being said. It affects science. It affects foreign language. It affects literally everything in education if you're not reading on grade level. If that's such a common sense thing, why has there been so much pushback on just getting kids to read at grade level? Why are people pushing back on that?
Well, I mean, I do not know. I mean, I know that most of my colleagues aren't pushing back, but you do tell me, Scott, you're more in tune with this than I am. Why are people pushing back on that? I mean, it seems common sense that if you can't read, you shouldn't go on. You've got to get that basic fundamental skill before you can go on.
Well, I know you've had conversations with teachers because you can't sit down for Sunday dinner without having a conversation with the teacher. I'm around a lot of educators myself because of what my wife does for a living. As I talk to educators one-on-one, and we've had plenty of time to talk about it, Senator, because the Literacy Act has been out there for 4 years. Should have been implemented years ago, and we're just now getting to it. But I have yet to come across a single teacher who is not in agreement with the Literacy Act. Every single one I've talked to said, well, I don't know why we didn't do this decades ago and make sure kids are ready to go into the next grade. How big a problem is social promotion in public education right now?
You know, I don't know right now because I'm not. And, you know, I do hear from my relatives that are still in the field. But, you know, when I was there, it was an issue. I mean, you know, you were socially promoting kids that didn't have possessed the kind of skills that they needed to go on to grade level. Right. And so I'm sure it is a problem in certain areas, and it's not a problem in certain areas. But we need to do away with social promotion.
Senator, we need to take a quick break. Can you hang around? We've got a few minutes on the other side. Will you hang around and stay with us?
Just for you, Scott, I will.
I appreciate this. This is Jeff Moore Show. I'm Scott Muttrum. We'll be right back.
Ain't just for high achievers. My heroes have always been cowboys. And they still are, it seems.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. I'm Scott Buttram, sitting in for Jeff Poor. On the line, he was with us in the last segment, agreed to stay over for a few minutes as we head to the bottom of the hour, Senator Shay Shelnut. Shay, I don't know if the rest of talk media understands how badly you hate to do interviews, but I do.
Because it's not that bad. I've gotten better over the years, Scott. You know, but I try to avoid the media at all costs.
You do, which makes
true.
It difficult.
That is true, except for you, because you are, you know, the media in my area.
Well, and we were friends before I was the media and you were an elected official, so that makes it a little bit easier. But I thought, you know what, you were gracious. You stayed over for a few extra minutes, and I know you were grinding your teeth when I asked. So I thought, let's flip this a little bit. Let's talk about a couple of things that are fun. First, I'm gonna put you on the spot a little bit. I had a yeah, I know. Well, we're going to have fun here because neither of us really care what he thinks, so we're going to say what we want to say. I had a long talk with your friend yesterday, Rusty Glover, former Senator Rusty Glover, and just had a great conversation. We were on the phone for over an hour, but we hung up without me asking him the question I wanted to ask. So I'm going to ask you, is the former Senator Rusty Glover from South Alabama, is he going to make a political comeback anytime soon? Or are you hearing anything from him?
Well, you know, I do talk to Rusty every once in a while just because he listens to this show and actually knows that I'm on it when I'm on it and comments to me. But I hope Rusty is going to come back because he is a great colleague and a very conservative. I don't know if me and Rusty ever voted different on anything. If I'm aware of, I don't know. I probably was wrong if we voted differently.
Well, I think it's interesting. I think it would be interesting if he came back to the legislature. And here's why. He was one of those Republican legislators who was there before the Republicans had the majority. And a supermajority, eventually the supermajority. So, you know, he kind of went through the wars. He knew what it he knows what it takes to put the state in the position they're now in with a supermajority in the House and the Senate. He went through those wars. He went through the battles of getting charter schools. Alabama, I think, was 43rd in the country to have charter schools. So he went through that battle. I'm wondering if we would not be well served to have some of those old school staunch conservatives back in the legislature that remembered what it took to get us where we are today.
Yeah, well, I am all for Senator Rusty Glover coming back. I do know that the current senator in his district has plans to run for a statewide position, so I know that Senate position is probably going to be open, or most definitely, and hey, my full support will be behind Senator Rusty Glover if he chooses to do that.
Well, you know, if he didn't wake up with any pressure on him this morning, I think we've done a fine job putting a little air, so that's... we've done our civic duty. We put the spotlight on him. Now he's got to react. He has no choice. And we'll just keep that pressure there. The other thing I want to talk about is what city in Alabama has the best pickleball courts?
Oh man, I wish it was my city, but I'm gonna have to be honest. We're probably second in Alabama. I got to give it to Opelika. Opelika has the best facility, maybe, golly, in east of the Mississippi, but we're moving up.
We did, for folks who don't know, we just opened our first covered pickleball courts in Trussville. Our neighbors in Clay have a fantastic facility there as well. And Senator Shelnut, I think, and for y'all that don't realize it, he's a former college athlete that picked up pickleball, and he's dominating everybody, so he thinks it's the greatest sport in the world because he wins all the time.
Now that is not true. I do love the sport. I am not dominating everybody. I am too old to be dominating all these young kids that are getting into the game.
your brother tells a different story, Senator, but we'll go with that. We've got to head to the bottom of the hour. Senator, thank you for joining us today. I appreciate all your comments. I appreciate the help you give me when I get myself in these positions. This is FM Talk 106.5, the Jeff Moore Radio Show. We'll be right back.
Would you please just go on?